Just had to share the crazy sounds outside my door. And I had no idea that the two geese were going to fly over at the time that I was recording the birds. I cannot wait to get outside, even sit out there in the dark to start my prayers. It's just too cold. It's 30 degrees Fahrenheit, a little bit too chilly to be sitting outside, but it is coming. Spring is on its way. I am so excited because I feel so many people are going to be rebirthed, if you will, be renewed in the Spirit of God. I was thinking this morning, wow, Lord, what a weight off of my shoulders that you have lifted. I will never drink, I will never smoke. I just sit here and I am so grateful. And then I read the readings, and it's about Abram changing his name to Abraham. God changed his name. And he said, on your part, you and your descendants after you must keep my covenant throughout the ages. He says, I'm going to do all these great things for you. You're going to be the leader of many nations. You're going to multiply. And then the responsorial psalm, the Lord remembers his covenant forever. And that means that our covenant with him is to do his will. And then the gospel, John 8, 51 through 59, Jesus said to the Jews, Amen, amen. I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. And I was just thanking Jesus this morning, thinking, wow, now it's a matter of me focusing on virtues. That bird is so loud. I think it's a cardinal. I have a story about a cardinal, but I'll tell you another time because today we still have to continue with the senses that we all need to govern. But I just had to share how amazing God is. And how, when I look outside my windows, everything is still bare, except for the fact that my magnolia tree is trying to bloom and it's just getting burnt by the cold overnight. I'm just so sad. I hope it still looks beautiful. And I just keep thinking, all of us are still in this Lenten journey, in the desert, walking with Jesus. And I just pray that whatever it is that you are battling, that you can look and turn toward God and say, you know what? This really is stupid. This thing that I want to do is absolutely against your covenant. And if I want to live forever in heaven with you, I need your help to turn away from this. I need you to change the desire of my heart. And show me the truth. Take the scales off of my eyes. Now, I know when I was in the middle of my life of drinking and smoking almost every single day, I was blind to it. I was making up a lot of excuses. So I believe that Lent, when we turn away from that sin, when we turn away from that vicious behavior or that vice in our life, that God is hopefully going to speak to you in truth where you're able to hear it because you're not in the midst of that habit or that sin. That's why Lent is so powerful, because we actually stop the madness and we allow Him to touch our hearts and we allow ourselves to look at our life. Now, as it is, wow, I just saw this beautiful cardinal just land on my little bird bath. I don't know if that's Jeff. I'll have to share with you what that's all about. Okay. So, just keep going. Ask God to put in your heart the truth about the sin that you are doing. And let's not forget that you are going to come out, not Abram, but Abraham. That's how I feel. Like I'm a totally different person. There's such a relief to not have to pray again, to stay away from these things. I mean, it was a beautiful healing, and he can do that in your life too. Run to Mary to ask her to take your petition to Jesus so that he will heal you. Run to Our Lady of Guadalupe. I hope that you are all still praying that beautiful novena, the 9-month novena. It's 3 small paragraphs because we need Our Lady of Guadalupe in our lives. I truly believe. First, she healed me back in 2013. And I know that she healed me this time. So run to Our Lady to take our petition to Jesus. Okay, now let's talk about governing our smell. I don't know about you, but I've had moments where I have smelled something and it brings me back 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years to something that either was good or was bad. So I went to Springfield, Illinois to look at Abe Lincoln's house and all of that, and it had a distinctive smell to it. And I didn't realize how distinctive it was until later on in my life I started filing my nails. And it had this smell that took me back to that trip to Springfield. I guess old wood smells like when you file your nails. It was crazy because I talked to a girlfriend that was there with me and she says, I think the same thing. When I smell fire, as in a fire pit, I think of when my husband asked me to marry him. When I think of cotton candy, or I smell cotton candy, it brings me back to the time when my whole family would go to the 4th of July carnivals. We'd be there all day. Yes, my parents would be in the beer garden drinking all day, and we would be riding the rides, but that was fun to me. I had a blast doing that. And I do remember smelling a friend's house. She was Asian, and I went in and the smell was overwhelming. I'm not exactly sure if it was garlic or what, but it was on my clothes for a couple of days. And anytime I smell that smell, it reminds me of her house. And then there are smells that kind of remind me of not so good things. And I can't remember if I ever came and talked to you about smelling alcohol on people's breath now, how apparent and blatant it is. It's in my face. And when I think about it, it reminds me of when my parents were drinking and we would be in the car and I would try to, you know, make sure that my dad was staying awake, I don't know, 10, 11 years old, and just smelling the alcohol in the car. And that's not such a great memory. And it's funny how I can remember the smell now, but my whole life I've been drinking, so I never thought about the smell because I was drinking it and I didn't smell it. I think my sense of smell is so much more on point than it was before, especially with alcohol. And then another thing would be smelling baked goods. There's a donut shop called Krispy Kreme in America that just basically makes these, they're just glazed donuts, but you could smell it for miles and people would drive up and wait for the warm ones to come out. And I would do that. I could polish off a dozen of these disgusting, the horrible things for your body. And I was like addicted to them. Crazy. I'm sure that when you walk into a bakery, you can smell the sweet smell in the air and maybe your mouth starts watering. Today, I could walk into a bakery or have a big cake with ooey gooey icing. You know, my favorite is that, what, cream cheese icing? Maybe it's not cream cheese. What is it? It's going to come to me. But now, I could have it right under my nose in front of my face and not have that reaction of a watery mouth or an overwhelming feeling like I've got to have it. I've got to have it now. It's wonderful. And the smell of chocolate chip cookies freshly baked reminds me of when my mom would bake those after school. And yes, I was all about just eating them, but there was a little level of, oh, my mom loves us. She took time to bake cookies. And again, I was addicted to sugar, so I mowed down a bunch of them. I don't know if I remember, or not I remember, but I don't know if I've told you, or if you remember, my mom used to hide food from me because I didn't have control of myself. I wouldn't just have one ho-ho, one ding-dong, one Twinkie. I would have five or six until I was kind of sick. But another great smell that I love, even when I was addicted to sugar and not keto, was the smell of barbecued meat, of when you had your grill going and the smell of meat being cooked on it. I can go for a walk on a Saturday or a Sunday even, and I can smell that barbecue going on in someone else's home. And it reminds me of the Sundays at my own home when I was a kid. That was pretty much the only time that we would really see my dad because he was working and we just didn't have a lot of big meals as a family except for Sunday. And then we would watch the movie. I don't even remember what it was. Maybe it was a Disney movie. It had Tinkerbell that bing hit the top of this castle and we would have a movie and then we would probably watch Donnie and Marie Osmond, I think, that came on after that. But that meat today also reminds me of, I love meat. Now, I don't have an addiction to it. I eat till I'm full, till I'm satisfied. You know, you just don't overdo it on meat. You can't. Your body is like, I'm done. I'm good. I'm totally satiated. So what kind of smells tempt you? I'll tell you the smell of marijuana. Although some people may say, ew, it smells like a skunk, to me, was something that I was drawn to. If I would smell it, even if I would smell a skunk, which wasn't marijuana, I would still think about pot. So let's govern what we smell. Sometimes we can't help it. The smell is just there. But let's pay attention to it. What's happening in our body? Right now, the smell of alcohol repulses me. And I'm so grateful that I'm not drinking that anymore. Now, do not think that I am getting on your case about drinking. I had a disordered relationship with it. So yeah, it's different now. And now I'm seeing people in their drunkenness and, you know, slurring their words and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, wow, I will never have that again. Abram to Abraham. I don't know what my new name is, but I feel like, yes, I was this old person and now I'm not. And I am going to keep my covenant with the Lord so that I can be in heaven and live for eternity. So if you smell something that triggers you, I hate to use the word trigger, it's such an ideological word, but if it does turn you toward wanting to abuse something, pay attention to how your body reacts with it and then change that relationship with that smell. I never noticed the smell of alcohol before, but now I do, and I'm grateful for me to A, smell it distinctly, and B, to be very turned off by it. It's amazing. So let's just pay more attention to what we have going on in our lives and fill ourselves with those beautiful smells that give us comfort. Maybe it's flowers or candles. Continue to fill your sense of smell with the good things. Maybe it's incense. I know a lot of people can't handle incense, but when I smell that at church, there's a totally different experience of the Mass because of that smell. Alrighty, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, come Holy Spirit, come into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, into our bodies, into our noses, and help us to govern what we smell, and to retrain ourselves when we smell something that pushes us or pulls us into sin and into vice, that we completely negate it and we turn toward you for your strength and your love. Please help us infuse good smells and beauty that you have created for us. Help us to be virtuous people. Help us to keep the covenant that you gave us, that you promised. You've kept your side and we haven't kept ours. We want to be in eternal bliss with you in heaven. Nothing down here on this earth is worth our souls or worth us being in the smallest level, the shortest level, the most menial level of heaven. We want to be as close to you as possible. So we ask Mary, Jesus, Holy Spirit, all you holy angels and saints, our guardian angels, and the souls in purgatory to pray for us to be healed. That this Lent is the last time that we do this act where we turn away from you. Even if it's prayer that we're adding to our life, make this the last time that we don't give you our first fruits. That our hearts are changed no matter how tired we are. We get up and we run to you in prayer so that we have your strength and your will in our hearts for the rest of the day. Mary, please take our left hand. Holy Spirit, your beloved spouse, take our right. Guardian angel, guide us, lead us. We want to get to know you more. You've saved us so many times. We want to know your voice. Lead us and guide us to Jesus, where we will have that healing, that final healing, where we can be free and walk with a whole new name. In your glorious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord, we are going to speak and pray all of the names of the people who are in purgatory now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for all of us sinners, please, now, today, and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You've got this with God. You've totally got this. Anything that you are trying to get out of your life, this Lent is going away. Have that confidence when you pray. Have that ardent desire in your heart, because there is such freedom when God truly kicks it out and shows you the truth about what you're doing to your soul, to your mind, to your body, to where you are going to spend eternity. And if you are adding something into your life, like prayer, a new devotion, maybe it's going to daily Mass, more to adoration, Ask him to make this a part of your life. And reflect on how doing this makes a difference. I say this all the time when I don't get up and pray, which, by the way, is no longer an option. I'm telling you, this morning, I woke up at 4:55. My alarm's going to go off in 5 minutes. And my first thing out of my mouth and in my mind was, oh, no, it's not time to get up yet, is it? And then I smack myself in the face with my mind, right? I didn't literally do it. And I said, all right, this is for you, Lord. And I'm like, I offer up this tiredness for my love of you, for me to be patient and to walk every day and see what you are going to do in my life. This is what I mean by that. I want things to happen on my time. I've had meetings with people. I want to know, how much is this place going to cost? Can I afford it? I need to sit with my tax person. I need to consider the 501c3, get donations, blah, 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 blah. And me, I kind of want it to happen yesterday. So I am trying to just take every step with God. And pay attention to doors opening, pay attention to conversations, pay attention to God's will. Because if I rush this and try to force this to happen, then it's my will. That's how you know if it's God's will. You be patient and you walk every moment. When a door opens, you walk through it. Just because things aren't happening on my time doesn't mean the doors are closing in front of my face. It's just not going as fast as I would like. And this is the exact same thing that I was battling with when we were building our home and our shop. I just was getting so frustrated because things weren't happening like I thought they were. And you've heard this because I said, look, we're paying for a service here. And they're not delivering. It's a little bit different. In this situation, I have to relax. I have to be patient. And that is one of the most difficult things. This is why we get angry when we're impatient. This is why we get frustrated when we're impatient. So allow yourself to just chill today and walk with God, thanking him and looking around. I went out to put water in the bird bath. It was 30 degrees, but you heard what was out there. It was so peaceful, and my heart just exploded with thanks and gratitude for this beautiful day. Yes, it's cold, but I know that spring is on its way. And I know that I will be out there sitting in the morning with Jesus. And for all of you that are struggling with prayer, just don't even allow those excuses to get into your mind, into your brain. Because then you and your lower faculties, which is your body that's not trained to get up, the more you get up and you pray, the more your body is going to be used to it, and the more it will be natural. You will just wake up at that time. Some days will be better than others, obviously. But that's the difference. And you have to remember that Satan does not want you getting up and getting closer to God. He doesn't want you to turn and ask the Lord to fill you with his zeal and his energy so that you can be the best evangelist as possible through your joy, through your smile, through your life. It takes some time to get that into your practice. That's why Lent is 6 weeks. That's why it's 40 days in the desert. 40 is a number of testing. Same way with getting something out of your life. So let's embrace this. It's a bit
of a struggle, yes, but coming out on the other end, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. I can't even explain to you how joyful, ecstatic I am to never be hungover, to never forget like I used to forget with what I said that night, with drinking, with smoking. Who knows if I said something bad? There were mornings that I would wake up with this total guilt. And it was probably because I was just drinking and smoking and damaging this body. And I know deep in my heart, it was God poking me and prodding me, saying, "What are you doing?" That guilt is gone. I cannot tell you how great it is never to have to go into confession and confess smoking pot, over drinking, for saying something or doing something because of the state of mind that I was in. And that is what I want for you, whatever it is that you are struggling with, because you've obviously given something up for Lent that is disordered in your life. And bravo for doing that. Just know it's a struggle. But if you keep struggling and you keep standing up every single day, trying your best and running to God, if you fall, He is going to pour grace into your life and heal you. I have no doubt. Oh, it's so wonderful. Okay, I can talk for, oh my gosh, I'm almost at 30 minutes. Sorry, everyone. Be joyful today. Go smile. Be grateful that you have faith, that the Lord Jesus is in your life, and pray for those who don't know Him. Find something more with God. Freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. And love and mercy beyond all comprehension. And that peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a blessed and inspired day.